Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Trigger Talk. Here we are in September already. I told you it was going to be, you know, fall pretty soon here. And actually, what was it? Was it last night? No, the night before. It was 49 degrees out, so we busted the 50-degree mark. So actually, you know, it's almost going to be frost on the pumpkin time pretty soon. So, and it starts you thinking about things like, gosh, is my food plot ready? Is the blind ready? I better be planning on sighting in some rifles, okay? Got to do that again because, you know, they just, again, it's worth a couple of check shots to make sure that you are on target, because maybe that rifle slipped sideways and hit its scope in the safe there and you didn't know it, and now you're going to miss that big buck or that big fat doe. So if you do need to, get a chance out to get out to the local ranges and sight in your rifles again. Let's see, what do we got? We only have one Michigan gun show this week. It's the Harrison Clare Gun Show. I think a lot of people are taking the holiday weekend off here. We got, you know, Labor Day weekend. Now, I was thinking about this morning, Labor Day. If you are staying at home and collecting your COVID relief fund so you don't have to go into work, and you're making, you know, your $1,200 a month or whatever, or $2,400 a month, isn't it? $600 a week. Do you celebrate Labor Day? Or maybe you have to go to work on those days because the rest of the time you're just sitting on your butt. I don't know. Could be. The other thing that I have noticed around town, and I've got some grandsons that are working in, you know, starter kind of jobs and things like that, and good for them. They're actually out there working, and all of the places they work, one works at a shoe store out at the mall, one works at Wendy's in Saline, one works at Imagine, and you know what? They're having a tough time finding kids, even especially now school started, and you know, it is kind of ridiculous. You hear the jobs numbers, and I just heard the news that, Biden's going to, you know, we need more money to give people to live because they're not working, and never-ending death spiral, right? Let's see. Missouri's got four shows. Springdale Gun and Knife Show in Springdale, Arkansas, at the Northwest Arkansas Convention Center. The gun show at the lake at Osage Beach at the Inn at Grand Glaze, it's called. Table Rock Gun Show at Reeds, Missouri Spring, the New Testament Christian Church, and the St. Charles Gun Show at the St. Charles Convention Center. So nothing in New York this week. They are scheduled to have one on next week on September 11th, so that's good. Let's see. I wanted to mention this. This is something that came up this week, and I've been following it, that it's going to be happening for a while here, but the NRA, Friends of the NRA dinner is coming up on September 18th, only a couple weeks away, right? And it is the 26th annual Huron Valley Friends of the NRA dinner, and it's a Tri-County Sportsman's League. Now, I'm going to mention this for a couple reasons. First of all, it's a great fundraiser for the NRA for education funds and things like that. It's not, you may be against, you know, Wayne LaPierre and the main issues with the NRA and all the crap going on there, but this is the NRA foundation that supports local education for, you know, local shooting sports for kids and things like that. They have a ton of things like, one of the prizes this year is the Henry Side Action 4570 lever action with an NRA seal on the side. I got to say, you know, these things are kind of cool. And I don't know if you've heard, but I've been listening to different Henry ads. And, of course, their statement is that Henry rifles are going to be made in the United States or not at all. And that is a very, and as is true with many of the firearms that we have in the United States. Now, not Russian ones and not Russian ammo. We'll talk about that a little bit today. But let's see. They got a Kimber NRA protector. They've got, these are some of the other things. They've got a Kel-Tec KS-7, a Weatherby. These are all prizes and stuff. Weatherby Vanguard Wilderness, a Fostec Eagle Light Rifle in 223, a Keystone Cricket. I talked about those last week or 2 weeks ago. 6-hour P320, which is the M17 variant, like the military one, and a We the People guitar signed by Ted Nugent, and more, okay? Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because this one at Tri-County on the 18th, Theron and I were graciously invited by, one of the guys that bought a table of tickets, Dr. Rob Steele, as a matter of fact, and Gary Knechtel, who runs this event for the local NRA group, invited Theron and I. So we're going to be there. So and I was talking to Theron this week, and was it not last year, because I think last year it got canceled because of COVID-19, you know, the China murder virus, but the year before. Theron won a pistol. We went, and he won a pistol. And I said, gee whiz, I never win anything. And he won a nice, a Canic, I think it's called a TP9. But anyway, it's a very well-respected 9mm semi-automatic pistol. And he won that. Now, I did stop and think that I did actually win a few years ago. I think it was called Outback Ammunition. And which they were selling an ammunition at the time that was purported to have, you know, very good temperature stable powder in it, so that it wouldn't have different pressures in if it was 130 degrees or if it was 50 below. You'd have stable pressures, and you could count on your accuracy. And I won 400 rounds of 223, so I can't say I didn't win. I've never won anything, but and the best thing ever that I won, and that actually is something I bid on. Now I bid on things all the time. I bid on things like and I win some of them because I pay for them, but I've won, you know, a really nice copper engraved flag that is like a candy dish from one of the mints out east. But the best thing I ever won, I actually have a picture of this. I've got because Theron and I were there together at that one too. I won an NRA toaster. An NRA toaster? What's an NRA toaster? It is, I'll have to dig out the picture of this. I do have a picture of this, of Theron and I standing there. I think we're holding a piece of toast, too. The toaster imprints the NRA symbol on the bread. Now, what could be more American than that, okay? And I was thinking, actually this morning I had a great breakfast. I had some French toast with bourbon peach preserves on it. What would be better than NRA toast, okay, with bourbon peach preserves on it in honor of peaches down in Atlanta and stuff like that in Georgia. So at any rate, I'm going to be there. Theron's going to be there. Stop by and say hi. Here's the information. Gary Knechtel, and it's GaryKnechtel at Reagan, Reagan.com. And I'll give you his phone number, okay? 734-218-0381. So if you want to go, I'm sure there's tickets available. There's different packages you can get for tickets. There's all sorts of, they do this neat thing where they take a deck of cards and they cut the cards in half and you buy a half a card, and then they select it from, you know, like a pot. Somebody picks the thing, and you win your choice of guns on that. So it's usually done by a local gun dealer. I don't know who's supporting it this time. I'll have to find out. But at any rate, a lot of fun, okay? Let's see. We did get new numbers. We're at 760,450. Seem to have slowed down a little bit in the CPLs, and I don't know. You know, we still got 5,800 pending. So I don't get the. We're all not up at 20, like we were, you know, 6, 8, 9 months ago. We were at 22,000 pending, but we're still at 6,000 or 5,800 pending. That's an awful lot. I still think they've got that process slowed down. Let's see. Defensive gun use, okay? A Syracuse concealed carrier killed a shooter, saving several lives of several individuals. And this is actually pretty good. In New York, Syracuse, New York, where a guy was, it happened at 2:30 in the afternoon. And the suspect, a guy named Demetrius Jackson, opened fire on a group of people with a 9mm handgun. And another guy who was at the scene happened to have his concealed carry permit. And he drew his firearm and shot the suspect in the head. The suspect was pronounced dead at the scene. Oh, well, you got to. And by the way, the district attorney said, you know, it appears the man who shot Jackson saved the lives of several individuals. So it's about time that people get some recognition for this stuff. Now, you know, people go, oh, couldn't you have shot him in the leg or something, or shot a warning shot to make him run away and pee his pants? No, you got to shoot to stop the threat. And he did that. So congratulations to the guy there. Let me see. I like to talk about different things that I see that are new for sale. And I've got a couple of things coming up and something I've got to work on a little bit. I got to understand. But there's a new thing. Tipton is a company that makes like gun vices and tools for cleaning guns. And they also make, you know, what are called jags, which are things that hold little squares of swabs of cloth patches that you can use to clean guns and stuff like that. Well, this is interesting. I think it's a funny name. They call it a Tipton Nope Rope. Nope Rope. Well, what they did is, you know, there's a couple of different things out there, and I think it was, the Hoppies group that came out with it first was the boar snakes. Remember that? And the boar snakes are something that everybody should have. You can have have them in any caliber you want. You have pistol ones that are a little shorter, rifle ones that have longer leads to be able to get down the barrel. Well, Tipton came out with something they called a Nope Rope. It doesn't explain why they call it a Nope, but the point is maybe it's because they actually have the rope where and this is kind of unique. Sometimes it takes more than one time to put the like a boar snake, and they've got another one that they make. I forget it, but it's got a snake connotation to it. But essentially, it's a braided nylon rope that has like little copper bristles in it and stuff. And as you pull it through the barrel, it has an area that you first have solvent on, then the bristles go through, then a clean area, and then you can even have oil at the end if you want, or you can do that separately. But they're always like one piece. Well, the Nope Rope has a connector at each end. You know the little threaded connectors, like the 1032 thread connectors that you put your jags or your loops and your brushes on the end of a cleaning rod? Well, this has got at both ends a brass little connector like that. And so the idea is you can put, maybe it's nope, there's no end to the rope. I don't know. But the point is that you connect the ends together, and now it's a continuous loop. So you can just keep running it through your gun without stopping and having to pull it out and lift up the gun and drop it down either from the muzzle or from the breech. It's kind of a neat idea. So I thought, that's not a bad idea, the Nope Rope. So I do not know why they call it a Nope Rope. Let's see, check out Nope Rope today. But at any rate, that's my tip today of something new that I think I find interesting. And I may need to get some of those because I need some in different calibers. I've got... I have got all the standard ones for all the pistol calibers that I shoot, and also all the ones for the rifle calibers I shoot, except for 7mm Remington mag. I do have a 6.5mm one for like 6.5 Creedmoor, but that would probably be close enough for a 7mm. Let's see. This was a story that I agree with, but there's part of it I don't I understand, but I've got to learn more about. Everyday carry, okay? And I, by the way, what's on your hip today? I'm wearing my my Springfield XDS in 45 with Barnes TSX hollow points in it and a spare mag in my left pocket. So in a Crossbreed Super Tuck Deluxe holster, okay, on my right hip. So at any rate, I'd like to know what you're carrying today. I ran out of time because I was getting ready for the show this morning, and I thought, what am I going to carry? I always carry my XDS, or I carry one of the revolvers. I'm going to carry a 1911 today. So I went downstairs to the safe. And there's the one I was going to, I was torn between the Sig Sauer Sig GSR, which is a Sig Sauer, very neat tactical 1911, and my actual Colt 1918 model. It's a 1911, but it was made in 1918, September of 1918. And I almost decided to wear that. Then the problem came about. I could not find a holster for it. I thought, where are my 1911 holsters? Because I don't wear the 1911 that often. And so I'm looking to see. I can't find it. So next week I will find a 1911 holster before the time to leave for the show. And then I'll wear a 1911 next week. So let's all wear our 1911s next week. You can call in and tell me what you're wearing. So everyday carry, and you think of that is a term you should be thinking of. If you have a CPL, what good does it do you if it's at home in the safe or a home in a drawer or locked in your car, in a car safe? Everyday carry is just that. You get to the point where when you carry it, you don't even notice it's there. I've been carrying an awful lot. I've been traveling back and forth and doing things to help my parents in Indiana. And so I've always got a firearm on my hip. And that's the way it should be. And it gets actually very comfortable because you don't even know it's there. I talked about it before, that when you first start carrying, you are very self-conscious of it. You think everybody can see the bulge under your shirt or under your jacket. You keep checking it. You touch it to make sure it's there. But then later on, when you can ask most people that have carried for decades that they just don't even notice it anymore. But you have to have it, okay? So everyday carry, you should always have the fundamental four when you leave the house, okay? So I'm going to run through the fundamental four, okay? And these are things that you always want to make sure that you've got. First of all, it's something lethal, okay? So it's going to be your Glock, your Ruger SP-101, your Smith & Wesson K-frame or J-frame, your whatever you decide to carry, okay? So you need to have a good pistol, okay? And I don't mean something in an oddball little caliber like a 25 automatic or something like that. I guess it would be better than a sharp stick, but we're going to take care of that anyway, because the other thing that you should have is you should always have something sharp, okay? You should have a pocket knife. I always have a pocket knife. And I want to say there are different it used to be kids always carried a pocket knife. I was a Boy Scout. Be prepared. You had a little buck knife or something that had the two blades that you could open up. Then for years, when I started working in an office, I kind of shifted down to a smaller, like a Swiss, one of the Victor Reinox Swiss Army knives that's got a scissors on it and stuff like that. Well, that's not a self-defense knife, believe me. But so now what I always carry, I actually carry a CRKT igniter, it's called. It's got a 3.5-inch blade, and it's a very nice pocket knife that has like a gravity. You can flip it open. And so I always carry something as for sharpness, for whether I'm cutting a piece of rope, a piece of tape, opening a box, whatever, but also from a something sharp that you could use as a weapon if you need to. The third thing is something I've talked about for years is flashlights. Okay, I always carry a Phoenix, usually a PD-22 or a PD-26. I did it again. I lost. And about every 2 years, I seem to lose a flashlight. I don't know. It's usually because I'm switching cars or trucks or something, and it rides different, or it catches on the seatbelt different and flip it off. I cannot find my PD-26, so I had to revert back to an old PD-22 right now until I get another one. But some of the Surefires are outstanding. There's one called a Surefire Stiletto, which is pretty cool now. It has 650 lumens, okay? It's a flat flashlight. It's rechargeable. I've got some other Surefires that are bigger that use two CR123 batteries, but these Stilettos are flat. It is a cool knife. I think I might need to switch over to one of these Surefire Stilettos, especially because it's got 650 lumens, and the other ones that I got, the highest is 500. So I am a little bit of a flashlight nerd. But then the thing is that they're suggesting that you have a tourniquet with you, and they have one called a RATS, R period, A period, T period, S period. And I got to look up and see what that actually stands for. But the thing is that it is a basic pocket trauma kit. And the whole idea is that if you end up in a situation where you are either having to defend yourself and you may take a shot and you may have an arterial bleed, or maybe you come across somebody that has an arterial bleed because they were shot and you just dispatched the bad guy, but the victim there is got an arterial bleed. So something to stop the bleeding, okay? And I want to say, for several years, they've taught classes like called Tactical Combat Casualty Care for young military troops and stuff, but you don't need all that, but you need to have a way to stop the bleeding. If you come across somebody, you're not going to let them bleed out. Now, if it's the bad guy, you do not try to administer aid to the bad guy, okay? That's between God and him and God and the EMT driver, if the guy's going to survive or not, okay? But the point is that it is a good thing to have. Now, if anybody has experience with one of these RATS tourniquets, and it's like a bungee cord kind of thing that's got a unique little clip on it. I'm going to look it up at the break here. But if you have any experience with one of these RATS tourniquets or one of these basic pocket trauma kits, tell us about it. Tell me which one that you use, which one, how you like it, where did you find out about it, where did you get it, okay? So that'll be good. So anyway, we're going to, then we're going to talk about some things here about no prison time for a man who sold hundreds of guns illegally. Oh, gosh, there's we're not treating all gun. No, I'm not talking about Joe. Joe gave 384,000 assault weapons, and we're talking about real assault weapons, real fully automatic rifles, okay, to the Taliban. Not Joe. This is not no prison time for the man who sold. This is no prison time for the man who sold hundreds of guns illegally. Not the guy who gave away $95 billion worth of arms to the Taliban. No, that's a whole different story, and obviously we can't treat that way. So, at any rate, this is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600 and 92.7 FM. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Wham! Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back. And I was just talking about a story about a man who he's been let out of prison on time served or out of the jail because they forgave him for selling hundreds of guns. Now, that's an interesting story. But this is the only wading into it that I'm going to do today, is that the story only gets worse out of Afghanistan. And I said 380,000. I was wrong, so I looked it up here. I've got the meme that shows everything that we left over there. Okay, and it was 358,530. Assault rifles, and these are full assault rifles. These are real, like M4s or maybe SIGs or some other models of AR-style kind of guns that are either three-shot burst or fully automatic. Not AR-15s like we use over here as civilians, but fully automatic assault rifles, 358,000. And I did put a meme up on my website 2 weeks ago. I did one with a guy wearing a turban and a beard and some Islamic garb, and he was clearly a Caucasian man that was saying, and the meme said, American gun owners dress up as Taliban in hopes of getting free guns from the U.S. Army. Then last week I posted one, and this is on TriggerTalkRadio.com. You can see this. If you go there to listen to the podcasts and the shows, take a look at the content that we put up too. I have fun putting that up, and some of the things like the ballistic testing and all that kind of stuff. But I sometimes put up fun memes. I've got some. I'll put this one up though this week because it lists Humvees, okay, 22,174. M117s, those are actually MRAPs. Those are mine-resistant, ambush-protected vehicles that have armored hulls to be able to handle IEDs. And they work, because I know that because my son-in-law, his MRAP took two IED hits when he was over there, two different MRAPs and two different IED hits. Fortunately, the whole thing didn't go off or we wouldn't have him anymore, but it did a good job, okay? 169 M1113 armored personnel carriers, 42,000 pickup trucks and SUVs. 42,000, okay? And we go drive by your dealer. Well, you know what? Maybe the only good thing is if they're new ones, and they should take those chips out of them. You know what I mean? The ones that all the companies are shutting down now because they cannot find chips to be able to build their PCMs, their powertrain control modules. In addition to those 358,530 assault rifles, they left 64,363 machine guns, okay, like belt-fed saws, M60s, M2, Browning M2 deuces, okay, you know, 50 calibers, 8,000 trucks, 162,000 radios that happen to also be tuned to the same frequencies as our radios, okay, 126,295 pistols and 176 artillery pieces. That's artillery pieces. Oh, yeah, who uses those anymore? We do, okay? And we used them for years. Matter of fact, I always think, when I think artillery pieces, I think of the 105-millimeter howitzer that Robert from Wixom always used to wrote his book about, which is called "That's My Hand Grenade, Get Your Own." Okay, Robert, if you're listening out there, give a call in and say hi. What do you think about giving the Taliban all those artillery pieces? 33 M17 Mi-17 helicopters. Those are the bigger cargo kind. 33 Blackhawks. Did you see the images since last week of the Blackhawks flying over Kabul? Let's see. and 43 MD-530s. That's like the little Hiller, you know, they're shaped like a teardrop personnel kind of helicopters. Four C-130s, 23 Embraer Super Turcos. They're actually turbos. They're actually, you know, an assault assault aircraft. 28 Cessna 208s, those are more like personnel or cargo carriers, and then 10 Cessna AC-208s that are attack single-engine aircraft. I can't believe it, okay? I mean, it's just totally amazing that that we have this level of incompetence. And at the same time, by the way, and I'll go back to it here, they release a guy from prison who sold hundreds of guns at a gun show to hundreds of people, no checks or anything like that, and they actually arrested him, and it would have had a 5-year prison sentence and a $250,000 fine, but they decided that because he's nearly 70 years old and gosh, he has a little bit of mental and physical issues that we'll give him time served. So I guess, you know what? If you're going to go out and sell guns illegally, all you got to do is be almost 70, okay? What if you're over 70? Yeah, then you're fine. Hey, let's set up a precedent for that, okay? Let's see. Where is the one I wanted to say? And this has to do with what I just mentioned giving all of that armament to the Taliban, is that the Biden officials signal support for international gun control. Okay, he's out there actually, and I was watching TV, and they have, actually, this was on mainstream media this week too, where this is the arms and trade treaty that they have tried to pass for years and years, and it actually gets into where it's going to have an international database for gun registration and all that. Good luck with that, okay? Good luck with that. I'll tell you what, Joe, we'll consider that. When you go out and get them to register and pass a background check and do a 4473 on all those 358,000 assault rifles that you just gave to the Taliban for free and millions of rounds of ammo and actually pallets of cash, I heard, too, if you can believe that. And probably the most disturbing thing that I heard this week was that, and I've only seen it in a couple of news pieces, and then it's kind of buried now, but that supposedly our military had a drone lock, a target lock, on that guy that was, they knew who it was, they knew he had a bomb heading to Abbey Gate at Kabul Airport, and they had target lock on him from a drone, and somebody, they is the word, in the Defense Department or the State Department would not give them permission to shoot. Now, I don't know. I've seen it in a couple of places. I haven't heard it anywhere else then. That's the kind of thing you don't normally hear about. So I want to hear more about that if anybody else has heard about that. But that is, somebody should be hanging for that. Okay? And then you want to go out and try and do this international arms trade treaty and get all of us to have to register our firearms in an international database? You know what? What is it that they say? The Taliban had a guard that told somebody from the State Department this week that said, go F yourself. That's exactly how I feel. Okay? Let's see. I'm going to have to settle down and take a deep breath. Let me ask for a recess here. Derek, what's your show about this week?
Tomorrow I'm going to be discussing a topic that I found from the ESPN Sports Center Twitter account. They posed the question, who is the best pro athlete to never win a Most Valuable Player award? So I decided to take a local angle on that topic, and I'm going to pose the question, who is the best Detroit pro sports athlete to never win a Most Valuable Player award?
That sounds pretty interesting. That'll be good. I'll listen to that tomorrow, okay? Great. So everybody should be listening to Derek's show, which is the Stone Cold Sports Truth here on Wham. And you always get an interesting angle and a local angle that you don't hear on the regular news, so I appreciate that. Okay. I took some deep breaths. That helped, Derek. Thank you. New Texas law aims at anti-gun banks. Very good. Let's fight back a little bit. There's a couple stories about fighting back this week, but in Texas, they have said that they are going to sanction and they are going to prevent the state from doing any business with banks that have decided to, we're going to, we can't deal with banks that serve, our customers that manufacture assault-style weapons for civilian use. They can do it for military or law enforcement, but not for civilian use. And then the bank previously had said in 2018 that Bank of America declined to comment, okay? But the bank had previously said in 2018 it would stop making loans to companies making military-style rifles for civilian use. And then Citibank also said the same thing, and J.P. Morgan Chase Bank said the same thing. So consequently, Texas is coming back and going, fine, you don't get to do business with the state of Texas anymore. And by the way, the state of Texas is the besides the federal government, the second most powerful economy, right behind California, okay? So yeah, let's exercise a little bit of our strength sometimes, okay? And by the way, the exodus of California gun companies continues, okay? And I don't know why anybody is actually, that's one of the things in this Newsom recall with Larry Elder and everybody out there who are trying to depose and get rid of Gavin Newsom, is that I don't know why anybody still lives there. Well, I know why the lefties live there, but why, if you're a moderate or a conservative, why are you living there with the taxes and the things they want to do? And actually, this year they have a greater outflow of people than inflow of people. So, well, I don't know if they actually count all the people coming across from the border. Okay, maybe they're not counting those. So maybe there is a greater number of new people in California than people leaving. It's just that all the American citizens are leaving and the non-citizens are entering. So I don't know how they count that. I don't know if that's part of the equation or not. Let's see. But there are companies that are out there. Weatherby just moved to Wyoming. Shield Tactical moved to Texas. Holster maker Safari Land moved to Florida. Outstanding. And that's what we need to see more of, where people are leaving. Why the states, a lot of people are still up in New Hampshire and Connecticut and Maryland and stuff. I don't get that. But eventually, you're going to have to move, okay? Because the states are not kind to you, and they demonize you. They want your taxes and stuff, but they demonize you. Same thing as a gun owner, okay? Let's see. What is good here? And this was interesting. Wisconsin is actually doing, and how many of you people know that when they talk about the gun violence or gun deaths that happen each year, that 2/3 of those are actually suicides? They're not, gun crime. They're suicides. Okay. And so what happens is, there are probably some things that people can do. That's where this is where I'm torn with ideas of red flag laws. But there are already things in place in most states where if somebody is having a mental incapacitation issue or depression and things like that, that you can do to have guns removed or locked up. But actually, what they are doing in Wisconsin is an offer that they have a gun shop project and a safe storage program where there's 12 gun shops in the states that now have safes available for people to store their guns there if they are feeling depressed. They don't want to give up their guns. They don't want to sell their guns, but they're feeling depressed. They're seeking out help, but they feel they may need a a way to be able to secure their firearms so they don't have immediate access to them because of the... Now, that doesn't help if you need them for self-defense or something, but if you are suicidal, I think that that's not a bad idea. So I'm going to look read more into that and see... There are other programs like that in other states and things like that. If it's administered correctly, it could be helpful and beneficial to people, because I do know that there are people who have depression, who have PTSD, veterans that have issues that they deserve to have their firearms and stuff, but they're struggling and maybe they don't feel they should have them at their immediate availability. Let's see, gun sales of August. Sales boom is the second highest on record. Okay, so it's a little bit less than last year, and I'm looking at the overall NICS checks, and 2020 was an unbelievable number. But we're not that far behind this year. This is the second highest year, and we are at about 1.3 million NICS checks in August. And last year, we were at about 1.65. So I want to say we're down a little bit, but we're still far beyond other years that we've been, you know, going back to 21 years, okay? And before that, even greater. Because back in August, in 2000, 2001, for a whole bunch of years, up until 08, that would be up until Obama took office and started rattling his teeth about gun control, we were down at the 500,000-600,000 a year for NICS checks in August. And you know what? Then it went to 1 million, and then it went to 1.6 million, and now it's 1.3 million. We're still the number two August. So yes, gun sales are slowing down a bit, partly because of availability, because last year was such a high number of gun sales that they're still recovering. And then you've got, when the stores were empty, it takes a while to fill the pipeline. Same thing for firearms. Okay. I mean, for ammunition. Let's see, Virginia Citizen Defense League. Okay, this is the group that rallied outside their state house and stuff like that because of all the anti-gun stuff that their governor was doing and their legislature was voting on and everything. Well, they actually were called in the media and by the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence, okay, they were called domestic terrorists. Well, do you know what? There's actually a definition of domestic terror, and they are not it, okay? So they've actually filed a lawsuit for defamation against this group. Now, I want to say this is what I liked about the story. If you're a Second Amendment activist, you probably have been called plenty of names by fans of gun control. And gun nut is one thing, okay? We all know about being called a gun nut. I'm not worried about that. But here's my favorite two now, okay? An ammo sexual. You know, I'm about ready to declare myself that. I mean, you know, there's two sexes out there, right? Male and female. But then there's there's actually 57 other ones that we hear about. And there's transsexuals and there's, all pansexual, all these things. They're calling the gun nuts ammo sexuals. I like that. Okay. Are you an ammo sexual? Yes, I am. Okay. So an ammo sexual. And then the other one that I liked is they were calling people who are gun enthusiasts, y'all Qaeda, not Al Qaeda, but y'all Qaeda. So it's got a little bit of that Bubba factor in there and stuff, but calling them y'all Qaeda, that's funny. I like that. Okay. So go ahead and call us whatever you want. I'm going with ammo sexual and y'all Qaeda. Okay. I love it. Let's see. Now, here's another thing that you know, so if you can't win in the court of public opinion, then you got to go to the courts, okay? So there's that one there. And then there is also, let's see, who we got? We got Ed from Ypsilanti here on Gun Lovers, Names for Gun Lovers. Hey, Ed, how are you?
I'm very good, Dick. I got to say, I like Ammosexual a lot better than I like Hoplophile. You just got to explain Hoplophile to everybody, you know?
Yeah. Ammosexual is a great one, isn't that?
Did I say Hoplophile? Yeah, Hoplophile, that's right.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I got it backwards for a second.
No,
yeah.
That's right. Ammosexual and Y'al-Qaeda are both good names, don't you?
Yeah. All right. You have a great day.
Oh, thanks, Ed. Bye. Okay. Thanks a lot. See you later. So I am proudly Ammosexual from now on. Okay. And I'm going to have to figure out a meme for that one, but an Ammosexual. Okay. Matter of fact, I've got a meme of a guy that is just buried in ammo that I should, that might go be a good one for Ammosexual. So here's probably the last story we'll get to. This is interesting. There's a nonpartisan, supposedly, Beltway Accountability and Public Integrity Group that has asked the U.S. State Department for full details on the recent sanctions against Russian ammunition. Okay, so remember we talked about that last week and the week before where the Russians are there, or the Biden administration is proposing to stop and not renew the licenses for importers of any Russian ammunition. And supposedly it's because the Russians poisoned a guy. Okay. Yeah. Alexei Navalny. It's the poisoning of the anti-Putin critic. So we're going to fight back against Russia by preventing them from importing any ammunition. Oh, you know, they'll just sell it to somebody else. You're not hurting them. You're only hurting our shooters, okay? But there is they have filed this Empowerment Oversight Whistleblower and Research Project based in Arlington, Virginia, is concerned that the ban could be a deceptive abuse of sanctions process to pursue Biden's domestic gun control agenda. So they filed a Freedom of Information request. And so they're looking for records of communications between the State Department and various national anti-gun groups like Everytown, Moms Demanding Action, Giffords and Brady Group, okay? So there's the reason behind this is that the U.S. Supreme Court had previously held that courts can overturn agency actions under the Administrative Procedure Act when the agency stated rationale behind the action is contrived. So here they were probably thinking, you know, we can shut down the ammunition supply and we'll blame it on this bit where they poisoned an anti-Putin guy. Okay, yeah, that'll do it. And we can say no more Russian ammunition or no more Russian guns, no more nothing like that. Okay? Well, if they find out that that was what they thought, and not because of the anti-Putin critic poisoning, then they can overturn that. So yeah, we know how to use the courts too, okay? And we're going to do that. So there's still hope, folks. Don't give up. I had a whole list of other things, what they consider to be the top 10 new guns for 2021. That's they being guns.com, but I agree with some of them. We'll talk about those next week. Next week is 1911. Oh, actually, it'll be perfect because it'll be 9/11, won't it? And you know what? What better to wear on 9/11 than a 1911? Okay. So next week I'm wearing a 1911. You should too. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600 and 92.7 FM. I'll see you next week.